are incredibly excited that you're here. We are honored to be able to kick off a new series today called Healthy Homes. And throughout this series, over the next few weeks, we're going to be walking through your home and my home into each and every individual room in our homes. And we're going to be talking about healthy homes. And basically, we're going to be asking this question in every one of the rooms that we're going to walk through. We're going to be asking this question: is this room healthy in my home? Is this room healthy in my home? And so I'm looking forward to sharing with you on this series. And I just want you to know up front today that this series on marriage and the family may be the most uncomfortable series that you've ever heard on family. And I'm okay with that, and you should be okay with that. And here's why: because your personal health and the health of your marriage and the health of your family, they are all worth painful, uncomfortable conversations. The family is critical to the health of this church. It's critical for your own personal health. It's critical for the health of this nation. At Solace Church, we're passionate about healthy homes. And so this series is not just another series on a calendar. It is a critical series for our church. So before we go any further, let me just pause for a moment and say this. If you're a guest visiting with us today for the first time, we could not be more excited about you being here. We understand that you could have chosen to be anywhere else in the world, and you chose to come today to spend an hour with us. And we want to say thank you for that. And we hope that you were met in the parking lot and out in the lobby with smiles and with handshakes. You know, at Solace Church, we do like each other around here. Three of you too. That's really cool. But we really do enjoy each other. And so we want you to know that it's genuine and real. We love being in community with one another. But more than that stuff, our prayer ultimately is that you encounter God, because that's why we're here. We're here to see what heaven has to say to us. And so that's our prayer today, that you would experience that. We also want to say welcome to all those watching online at solacechurch.com. Thank you for being a part of our online community. And wherever you are in the world, thank you for choosing to be a part of this community. I want to say this to you. I've never said this to our online community, but I definitely want to say this today. At Solace Church, we are thankful for the format and the platform of offering our services live through solacechurch.com. But please know, if you're watching today on solacechurch.com, we believe that online church never can replace the local body of believers. And so we're excited that you're watching online today, but more than anything else, our prayer is that you would find your way back into a local body of believers, obviously this church as well, but even if you're watching and you're not a part of our church, some local body of believers that you can connect with. So anyway, we're glad that you are here today. This is really cool. This new series, I think, is going to be great for our church. It's certainly already been challenging for me as I've been preparing for this series. So what's the series all about? Where are we going over the next few weeks? Well, let me just kind of unpack for you to start with. And today's going to feel like an introductory message. I mean, if you like heavy Bible and exegetical studies, today isn't that day for you. We're going to kind of just set the groundwork for where we're going. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be heavy Bible. We're going to be learning principles from God's Word and being challenged in the face of what it has to say. But today, let's kind of just set the stage for what's going on. So in your physical home, there are different rooms, and they all have different functions. And every one of these rooms serves a very important purpose, or at least most of them do, right? I mean, some of us have homes, some of you have homes, and you got like extra rooms that no one even uses, and that's great that you have that. But for the most part, every room in the home is very important. And how many of you know that these rooms, in order to stay functional, need constant maintenance? Like you guys know this, your home doesn't clean itself. Like the bathrooms don't just all of a sudden get clean overnight without your effort. Clothes don't get folded by themselves. Oh, if someone could invent that. Like folding, self-folding clothes, that would be amazing. Walls don't get painted and light bulbs don't get changed unless somebody applies some effort somewhere. There's an effort given to maintain a home. My wife and I just built a new home, and we have three kids, 6, 4, and 8 months old, almost 9 months old. I mean, in our house, keeping up with the maintenance of our house, cleaning the floors and all that kind of stuff seems overwhelming at times. If you have small kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to choose between like clean home and like sanity. And so that's kind of the options you're faced with sometimes. And so we live in that world as well. But the truth of the matter is, the home itself must be maintained for the rooms to function appropriately. And in a similar way, marriages and parent-child relationships must be maintained as well. Relationships don't fix themselves. It only happens because we do our part. As a matter of fact, if you're writing anything down, I want you just to write this down today. Relationships require intentionality. Relationships require intentionality. It takes your effort, your attention, and very focused attention for marriages and families to be healthy. It doesn't happen by accident. Now, at this point in this talk, in this beginning of this series, here's what I know, that if you're married and you have, you know, kids in the home, this is really going to be important. And if you're here today and you're like single, you've already checked out. You're like, oh man, like 6 weeks and I got to hear about someone else's marriage and this is pointless, right? Well, if that's you, don't check out, because one day, if you're single and you ever plan to get married, this is going to be critical. If you can have a head start on the marriage relationship by learning this stuff, it's going to be so, so, so beneficial for you. And if you're here and you've been divorced and you're wondering if God has anything else for you, you're like, oh my gosh, I got to endure, you know, all my painful problems and circumstances that caused me to be in this situation. Please hear me. We recognize that if you have a heart for marriage, that God does incredible things in people's lives. And I've seen him restore marriages that look like they were impossible to restore. And I've seen God be able to move people on even after a divorce into healthy environments and relationships. So please don't check out on me yet, because this stuff is going to relate before it's all said and done. All right. So relationships require intentionality. You have to be purposeful about it. So over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to walk through your home, and you're going to walk through my home. And we're going to take an honest look in each one of these rooms, and we're going to learn a principle and lesson from each physical room that relates to our marriages or our families. And today, we're starting here. This room that you see on stage is the living room. This is that room in the home that is the hub of the house. I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but most blueprints or house plans put the living room at the center of the house. Jennifer and I, when we were looking to build a house, trying to find plans, if you've ever done that, that's like torture. We went through like thousands of plans trying to find the right one. And Jennifer, you know, she laid it out. I want the master bedroom here, and I want the closet here, and I want the laundry room right off of that, and I want the pantry to be right here, and I want an open floor plan. I'm like, that's easy. I'll just find that easy. Right? We searched and searched and searched. But to a plan, almost without exception, the living room was the center. All the traffic in the house flows through this room. It's that foundational hub that everything flows through. And so the living room, I think, is a great place to start. It really represents that theme that holds the marriage and the family together. Today, we're going to unpack what that looks like and what you need to learn from being in the living room. And so here's what I want you to know as we go through this. As we talk about each of these rooms, what you're going to discover about your marriage, your family, is that some of you are going to find out, man, we're healthy in a lot of places. But at some point, you're probably going to find a room, a part of your relationship that's unhealthy. So I'm going to ask you to really be sensitive to what God might be saying to you room to room. Here's also the truth. Let's just be real. Some of you today, there's so much dysfunction and brokenness in your home and in your marriage that everything I say in every room, you're going to go, yep, that's us. We're broken in that area as well. Okay, hear me. In either case, whether there's just a few things to work on or whether it's all falling apart, would you do this? I mean, like, let's all do this together. Let's swallow our pride. Because that is the one thing that keeps us from changing. Let's just swallow our pride for a minute and let's open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit, what God himself might be saying to us about how change could come into our marriages, our families, and create health. Is that fair? Would you do that with me? Because if you don't do that, we're going nowhere. If you will, I think God has something to tell you. So this is the living room. And in this living room, the hub of the house. But there's a dirty little secret about the living room that you need to know, that you probably already know, that's true in most families across our nation. The living room is a place where families struggle together. They struggle to meet and do life in this room. Oh, we pass through it, right? I mean, we pass it on the way to the kitchen or on the way to the bedroom or on the play or out the door to go to games. But seldom do we honestly find time to just park here and be here in this room. As a matter of fact, some of us almost never find a place here. Now, don't get me wrong. Please hear me, because if you're like a teenager here this morning and you hear me saying families gathering in the living room, that is like a threat to your independence. You just freaked out like, oh, dear God, please don't let him say that I have to meet with my parents in that room. That'd be torture, right? So listen, I'm not suggesting you get to spend 5 hours a day in a living room to have a healthy home. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I'm just suggesting you should be there at some point. But this is a critical part, and you'll see why in relationships that is so critical, that at some point we find a way to allow this living room dynamic to exist in our marriages and our families. So let's talk about that. What does it mean to live, or what does it mean to be engaged in this living room? What does the living room teach us about marriages and family? I think there's a word that really speaks to the heart of what the living room really signifies to marriages and families. And if you're writing something down, this is a powerful, powerful word. The living room really is all about investment. It's all about investment. It's about families taking time to be intentional about investment. I mean, think about the living room. What's supposed to go on here, right? The living room is that place in the home that has the most expensive furniture, probably in the whole house. It's got the most comfortable furniture in the house. I mean, the couch is typically really comfortable. How many of you know that in most living rooms, there's the couch that, you know, like other people sit on, and then the guys have the chair? And typically the chair in most homes, you know, it's probably the recliner. And generally speaking, there's a table to one side or another. And depending if you're right or left-handed, you know, there's your coaster where your cup goes. And then there's the remote control, because every man has his chair and the remote control, because that's how life works. And typically this chair is worn and it's probably leaning a little bit to the side where your remote's at. I mean, that's the home. And then there's this TV hanging on a wall or on a stand. And it's like that 80-inch curved TV that just came out because you had to have it in your home in the living room. And so this is what the living room looks like. And what's supposed to happen in the living room? Well, families are supposed to like get into this room and talk, or watch a movie together, or maybe even, you know, God forbid, play a game together. I don't know what it's like raising teenagers. Again, that was probably a little weird and creepy for a teenager to hear. I got to play a game with my parents. That's weird. But I got a 6-year-old and 4-year-old, and they want to play games with Dad in the living room. We're still on Sorry and Chutes and Ladders and Cuties, if you know what that game is. And if you don't, you're not a parent of a young kid. I mean, that's just the nature of where we're at. It's that place where people gather. But we struggle to get there. As a matter of fact, if I could just peek into your home, even when you do gather in the living room, it's still not healthy. Generally speaking, in living rooms across America, when people end up there, their dad is watching TV, totally tuned in to whatever that is. And mom's on the couch somewhere, maybe reading a book, or on her phone, going through Pinterest or Facebook, or shopping the coupons, or shopping on all the websites that are available. And maybe if the kid's even in the room, he's got his device or she's got her device that she's on, and they're playing the latest game and they just downloaded the latest new app. I mean, so here's the dynamic. Look, in the room, but something's not right. What's missing in the relationship? I think this is a good way to describe it. There is existing in the same room, but no investing going on. I think this describes marriages at large and families at large a lot of time, that we exist in these relationships kind of because we have to, right? We said till death, and I've got to be with you, and you know, they're my kids and I've got to take care of them, or I'm stuck with these parents, right? And so we exist, but there's no investment going on. There's no pouring into the relationship to bring health. And so this happens in a lot of homes. And by the way, it causes great dysfunction and brokenness. When husbands and wives fail to invest, brokenness and dysfunction follows. When parents stop investing in their kids and kids stop investing in their parents, dysfunction and brokenness follows. And how many of you know this? The sad truth of dysfunction and brokenness is divorce and severed relationships with parents and children. It's the great tragedy of missing this, or doing this, rather, existing but not investing. I got to say, I'm not throwing anything at you. My family struggles with this as well. I was hit right between the eyes with this just a couple of weeks ago. My wife and I had put our youngest daughter, Georgia, to bed. She goes to bed before everyone else. And Grady and Graham, we have an upstairs playroom, just game room. It's always trashed out. It's never clean. But they go upstairs, and there's a Wii U up there that they just got. We have Wii games for them, and they love to play it. As a matter of fact, just confession to you, we totally abuse the Wii U for our babysitter. All right, I'm just saying, it's the greatest babysitter we have. We have set poor boundaries, quite honestly, around how much time. I think on one Saturday not too long ago, they were up there like 8 hours. And I was like, dear God, get off there. Come on down. Come with us, right? I'm like, but how many of you know, like, when you're young and you have these kids and they're like, oh my gosh, drive you crazy. Like, it's the only sanity break you get. Like, yeah, go. So they were upstairs playing the Wii, and Georgia was in bed, and Jennifer and I were in the living room. Now, we don't have cable TV at our house. It's not by choice. It's just because where we built, the cable wasn't back there. And so we started this process of trying to get cable back in September, and it's January, and we still don't have cable or internet at our house. And I won't mention the name of the company, but Cox did not bring it out there yet to us. And so we're still trying to get it out to our house. And so we're struggling right now. And so, but I do want you to know this, that you can survive without cable TV. I just want you to know that, because we've been doing it in our house for like 4 or 5 months now. So there's no cable in our house. The TV was off. We were in the living room just by ourselves. And I remember thinking after a while, well, this is odd. My wife was on her phone. She got a pink case around her iPhone, and I just saw her just, you know, surfing. I need Facebook galore, Pinterest, looking for the latest ideas, the next piece of furniture that's going in our house, and all this kind of stuff. And I was watching her do that, and I realized, oh, I was on my phone. I had downloaded a game, and I was playing this game, a totally irrelevant, non-important game. Like 36 years old, pastor of a church, in my home, with my wife there, playing a game on my phone. And I realized something. Those guys who build those apps, those games, are brilliant. They make them so addictive. Like, you cannot put them down. Candy Crush? Some of you guys? And I thought, this is us existing in the same room, but not investing. The truth of the matter is, all of us struggle with distractions and being fragmented and being consumed with everything but the priority relationships that are in our home. All of us struggle with that at some level. And so the living room is that place where we ask ourselves the question, are we investing the way God would have us to invest? And so I just want you to think about that for a moment. How are you investing into your relationships? As a matter of fact, if you don't hear anything else I say in this whole talk, and if you don't hear anything else I say in this whole series, if you'll get this next sentence and you'll apply it to your life, I believe it'll be life-changing for our marriages and our homes. If you're writing anything down, it's a little bit long, I want to read it twice, but just think about this for a moment. Healthy homes happen only when everyone, keyword, everyone involved makes an intentional investment to build health into the family. Let me just say it again. Healthy homes happen only when everyone involved makes an intentional investment to build health into the family. Keywords, everyone, husband, wife, parents to kids, and kids to parents. Oftentimes we leave kids out of the equation, but how many of you know that disrespectful, disobedient kids can make a home very broken and unhealthy? Everyone intentionally investing to build health. If you'll just live that out, your marriage and your family dynamics will begin to change in a healthy, healthy way. So everyone making an investment. Now, I bet you're wondering at this point, Matt, you know, you're kind of in the church and there's this thing called the Bible that most of us know about. And is that a part of this series? Well, the good news is, yes. As a matter of fact, if you look at Scripture from cover to cover, this principle is exactly what God's trying to tell us in the pages of Scripture. He's saying to us from cover to cover, your intentional effort to build health creates health. Let me just take you all the way back to even Genesis. And I'm going to show you Ephesians 5 in just a minute. But Genesis chapter 2 is so clear on this. God creates everything. He creates husband and wife relationship. And what does he say to the marriage relationship? He says to husbands, leave mom and dad. And the next word is cleave, or lean into, or dive into, or bond with your wife. And then you become one flesh. Well, this is critical. Once you leave, you can't just exist in this relationship. It's a cleaving. It's an investment that you make to make it work. So Genesis 2 gives us the picture of what it means to intentionally invest. Now, I want to show you in a little more depth in Ephesians chapter 5 how Paul makes the exact same point that God made in Genesis chapter 2. In chapter 5, it's a really great passage of scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, the whole context of chapter 5 is love and submission. And Paul's going to talk about different relationships in this chapter. He's talking about the way in which we love each other and the way in which we submit to one another. And then he gets down, finally, in verse 22 to the family. In chapter 5 and into the first part of chapter 6, Paul speaks to the dynamics of how families work. Now, I want to say something about verse 22 because this verse has caused so many problems in the home. Right? It should be liberating, but it's created so much uncertainty in the home because every time a pastor would read, "Wives, submit to your husbands," either under their breath or out loud, men would say, "That's right. About time you talk about that." But you totally miss the context of the passage of scripture. God's not setting up a dictatorship in the home. God's talking. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is talking about how wives appropriately, intentionally invest into the marriage relationship. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The picture is that all of us are in submission to Christ himself. And in the home, God's asked the wife to come underneath willingly to honor the husband in the home so that the marriage can work, so there can be order in the home. It's not a bad thing, and it's not a value thing. It's just talking about the way the wife adds the most value in the relationship. It's an intentional investment. This is what Scripture calls you to. This is how you invest in your relationship with your husband, by submitting to him. And every action you do either honors that or goes against that. This is an intentional act from wives. Now, Paul goes on to say later in the text in verse 25 what husbands ought to do. Husbands should love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I would say to you that every time this verse is read, wives all across any room that this is read in would say, "God, please give me that husband." But notice the investment. Notice the effort that it takes. Husbands should love like Christ. What did Christ do? He just gave himself up for the church. Husbands, this is the way in which God calls us to invest in our relationship with our wife. That we rescue and that we, and I will talk a lot more about this, provide and protect for our wives just as Christ did for the church. It's intentional investment. And husbands, every single day, me included, every single day, the decisions, either we build into this or we neglect it to our demise. But it's not just about husbands and wives. Paul goes on to say in the text, down in verse number one of chapter 6, talks about the children. Children are called to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And in verse 2, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And he goes on to say in the text that it may go well with you, and you may live a long life and enjoy long life on this earth. And again, it's hilarious. Every time I've ever preached on this, parents are like, "Thank God he said that. Man, my kids need to hear this." Well, if you're a student here today, if you're a teenager here today, please hear me. You can bring health to your home, or you can bring chaos to your home, depending on how you choose to act in the home. Obedience is a way you invest in the relationship. You honor your mom and dad and you pour into them so that homes can be healthy and stable. You know, we laugh about this text and it's quite funny because Paul says, look, this is the greatest way you can assure long life on this earth. Now, it's a general principle, obviously, but the point he's saying is this. Have you ever heard this from your mom? "Look, I brought you into this world. I could take you out of this world." Right? It's the point. You bring sanity or insanity to your parents based on how you choose to invest in the home. And Paul goes on to say in verse number 4 that fathers have a role as well. And I would add mothers, but the primary responsibility here is fathers, do not exasperate your children. But instead, such a key word. It's an investing word. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, listen. Mothers, please hear me. Every single day you're choosing to either embrace this and invest appropriately or neglect this to your demise. So this is what Scripture says, front to back, cover to cover. Families who choose to invest intentionally according to God's word find health and stability in the home. But the flip side is also true. If you neglect these principles, if you neglect the relationships, they're going to fall apart. They're going to collapse. And it's your decision. And it's your choice. So here's my question. How are you investing? How are you investing in the relationship? In the room right now, here's the truth. There's marriages on the verge of collapse because someone stopped investing. in the room right now, there's a parent who has a strained relationship with their child because one or the other stopped investing. The dad was too busy, or the child became rebellious. One way or another, the relationship severed because someone stopped investing. Please hear me. God longs for healthy homes and healthy families. God is the designer and originator of the marriage and the family. And God wants nothing more than your family to be enriched and your home to be healthy. God longs to see husbands and wives in covenant relationship till death. God longs to see moms and dads in the home, raising their children up into the age they can launch and leave the home. God longs to see moms and dads set an example in the home so the children can see what health looks like. So when those children one day grow up and find their own spouse, they then know how to be healthy in their own homes. And moms and dads, you have an incredible opportunity and responsibility to help create that environment in your home. So how are you investing? All right, so this morning, what I want to do, just very practically, is talk to you about two ways I see myself and others invest in their relationship. One way is detrimental, one way is life-giving. I want to use a couple of kind of financial pictures for you because the idea of investment really is a financial concept in some respects. And so let's just talk very practically, and I think that you'll know what I'm talking about in just a minute. So let's talk about this. The first way I see sometimes myself and others think about or view investing in a marriage relationship is what I just call the checkbook investor. Now, just for full disclosure, this information came from a very, very powerful website called The Steadfast Life. The author wrote this blog, and it really was challenging for me to hear it, and I just wanted to share what he wrote because it was so, so powerful. But he calls the first one checkbook investor. What's a checkbook investor as it relates to marriage and family? Think about this concept. How do you handle your checkbook? Some of you are maybe more involved in the process, but basically, here's the concept of a checkbook. Once or twice a month, you make a deposit. Hopefully, it's large. For the most part, it's probably not large enough. But you make an investment in the account once or twice a month. You get paid on the 1st, or maybe the 1st and 15th, or maybe it's every other week. And thank God for that third time in one of those months if you get paid every other week. Like, hallelujah, we got extra money this month. That's the way a lot of families work. And so you make this deposit. But how many of you know that there's like one or two green line items on a checkbook entry, and for the most part, the rest of them are red? They're all withdrawals after that. And I would suggest to you that some people in their marriages and in their families operate like this in their homes. Once or twice a month, they'll invest in their marriage. You know, they'll do that whole date night thing, or they'll do that whole, you know, big romantic thing. And then for the most part, for the rest of the month, it's just asking. Constant withdrawals. We do this with our kids as well. You know, for the most part, it's withdrawals. But occasionally we're like, oh gosh, I actually got to raise this child and teach him some stuff, so I'll throw something at him because I have to. But for the most part, it's like, you know, stop. I was thinking about my own marriage relationship and my relationship with my kids, and this really struck me powerfully. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning and just very vulnerable because you need to know that my family doesn't always work right. I was thinking about my relationship with my wife, and this checkbook investor idea struck me very, very hard because 2014 was one of the greatest years of our life and one of the busiest years of our life. But something I let slide during that year was something I teach and preach and ask others to do on a regular basis. When I marry a new couple, I always go through marriage counseling with them or coaching. I call it coaching because counseling sounds like you're all messed up and coaching sounds like we're going somewhere. I don't know why that's the case, but it's just what I use. And so I tell them, look, here's the deal. I said, every week of your married relationship, I don't care how busy you are, I don't care how many kids you have, I don't care how crazy life gets, every week you need to date your spouse. Go out on a date with him. Doesn't have to be expensive, doesn't have to be elaborate. Sometimes it should be, but go out on a date with him every single week. I thought back over 2014 for my family, and I realized for my relationship with my wife that I failed miserably in this area. I thought back over the year, and I was thinking, I can only remember a handful of times that my wife and I went out. 52 weeks in a year, I think maybe it may be a dozen times in the whole year we were able to actually go out on a date. But you know what? Every single day of our married relationship, I ask a whole bunch from her. And it struck me. I'm making so many withdrawals without making very many deposits. God really convicted my heart about this. And I asked God, man, would you forgive me? And my wife and I, man, we are making this a priority again in our relationship. Because hear me, I don't care what your status is or title is. You can be a pastor of a church and you can lose your marriage because you viewed it this way. I found that this is the way it operates oftentimes with my kids as well. Again, just being real honest, my kids are young. And so I don't know what it's like to be in teenage relationships, and someday we'll know that. But here's what I know right now, 6 and 4. Basically what I do when I get home is I say, stop and quit that. It's the entirety of the conversation in our house. Like, quit, stop, do it, quit, quit, the whole night long. Let's go eat, now stop again. I mean, that's just what we do. And just not too long ago, Grady just floored me with something that he said. We were in the car, and almost out of the blue, I don't even remember the conversation piece, but almost like totally unconnected, Grady said, he's my 6-year-old. He said, I got this great idea, Dad. He said, why don't you date us? Like, first of all, how did you know to say that? You're 6. He said, I know what you can do. You can take me and not Graham in Georgia, and just me and you go do something. And then you can take Graham, and then you can take Georgia, and then you can take Mama. And it struck me. He needs me. There may come a day that he won't need that. I don't know. But for today, he needs his dad making deposits into his life. I said just a minute ago, I don't have teenagers, but I was a teenager, and I watch you teenagers. And if you're a teenager here today, I want you to get a visual of what your life consists of. You ready? Mom, I need that car. Mom, I need those clothes. Mom, I need that instrument. Mom, I need those cleats. Dad, I need you to take me. Would you please get me? Would you please go? That's basically the essence of what I hear in these families. And students, I would just ask you a question. You ask a lot from your parents. When's the last time you poured into them? When's the last time you just stopped and said, I don't need anything from you today, Dad. I just want to give myself to you. What can I do to take a load off your plate today? Husbands and wives, we do this, don't we? Come on. Husbands, hear me. Wife, please get me. Go make, go do. Please go this, this, this. And we seldom pour in. And wives, do you do this as well? Husbands, working that 40-hour-a-week job, and you've had the kids or whatever, and you're exhausted, and he comes home, and all he wants to do is sit in that chair and watch that TV. But there's demands, right? There's clothes to fold and this stuff to do. And so you ask and ask and ask, but are you giving back? So checkbook investor, is this speaking to anyone in the room today? This is not the way to go. It's the road to bankruptcy in your marriage relationship. If I were just to look inside of some marriages and some family homes right now, you're overdrawn. There's a better way to do this, and let me just conclude with this. There's a better way to do the living room of our lives. The better way to do it is called an investment manager. Now, just for disclosure, Jennifer and I are by no means wealthy. We're not even close. We don't even register. We're a middle-income family, but we have started some investment accounts for our retirement. We are starting to think about that. We started thinking about that a long time ago as well, and we made some initial investments into Roths and 401, Roths is what it was, and I also had another side investment that I was in charge of. I think I invested in something like Williams a while ago, and it was when it was like this really cheap item to buy, and it was going to go to like billions of dollars, and I was going to retire on that one small investment of like $1,200. But I remember making that investment, and I remember something really weird happened to me once I made that investment. Every single day, about 10 times a day, I checked the stock price. I'm like, I don't know what got into me or over me, but I wanted to see every moment how that thing was tracking. Investment, financial portfolio managers, investment managers in the business world, think about what they're in charge of. Think about this for a moment. You, when you partner with one of these individuals or a company, what do? You take your money, this precious gift, this incredibly important part of your existence, you give them this money and you ask them to do something very important. You ask them to manage it well. You ask them to watch the circumstances, to understand the environments and the nature of what's going on. You ask them to give oversight and direction on a regular basis to this account. And what's the one thing you want from them more than anything else? You want that account to grow. Right? That's their job. Grow this incredible gift that I have given you. Church, I would say to you that if we would start managing our marriages and our families like this, things would change radically in our homes. Instead of saying, I'll make a deposit, you know, occasionally, and then I'll withdraw from you constantly, we'd rather look at our marriages and our relationships with our kid on a very daily basis and say, my responsibility is to make sure that these are growing in a healthy way. Please hear me. Money is important, but the greatest treasure God has ever entrusted to you, husbands, is your wife. And the greatest gift God has ever given you and the most precious possession you have, wife, is your husband. And next to that is your children. God's greatest part of creation is humanity. It's the nearest to his soul, far more valuable than money. And God asks us to be investment managers, daily watching the balance, making sure these are growing. And so I'm asking you today, are these priority relationships in your house growing? I'm going to give you two suggestions, and I want to pray with you as we close today. Two suggestions that would help you begin to invest in your marriage and in your family. Now, hear me. These are very practical, very like right now things you can do. One's going to make perfect sense. One's going to seem totally out of place, and that's fine. I'll explain it in just a minute. Two things I would ask every one of you to consider if you're married here today. Number one, we have a marriage conference coming up in a couple of weeks. I cannot tell you how valuable it would be for you to spend a weekend. It's Valentine's Day weekend. How awesome is it? You get to go hear, you know, incredible teaching on marriage, and then you get to spend a night in a hotel, and you know, just this opportunity for you to get away with you, your husband, your wife. Incredible opportunity. Marriage conference is coming up. It's an investment, $100-something for you to invest in, but a great, great, great thing for you to do. Now, hear me. If you are not married and you are planning on getting married, we want you to come to this as well. Sign up and come, but don't stay the night. No hotel for you. That's later. You get to come to the conference. I think it'd be a great way for you to invest. Marriages need to be restored. Second thing I would ask you to do to consider is to go through what we call at our church growth track. Told you, totally out of line. Like, where did that come from? Here's why it's relevant today, and I'm done. Because I believe that families who are committed and grounded in the local church have a far greater opportunity for healthy homes than families who are floating. So I want you to consider getting grounded in this church so that your family has a basis, has a foundation, so you can bring them week in and week out and encounter God and let his word change you. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. It's 4 weeks on Sunday night. It starts Super Bowl Sunday. We're starting it early so you won't have to miss the Super Bowl, which is priority. But I want you to consider being a part of that. Now, here's what I want to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. We are just beginning. We've just scratched the surface. We've walked through one room, that foundational room, the hub of our homes, and we've learned it's really about intentional investment. Over the next few weeks, we're going to learn how to intentionally invest as we go room by room. But before we do that, I want to pray for you. I'm convinced in this room right now that there's a husband, a wife. You walked into the room today, and you felt like your marriage is over. Somewhere along the line, someone stopped investing. Someone's been neglecting. Maybe both of you have been neglecting the relationship. And you walked in here today and you knew this is not going to make it. Before you sign divorce papers or go through that process, and even if you're in that process today, would you just hit the pause button for a moment? And would you search the heart of God for a moment? Because it may just be that you didn't marry the wrong person. You just stopped pouring yourself in the right way into the relationship. And it's possible that there is a parent here today and you felt like you were overwhelmed. and you don't know which way to turn, and you don't know how to handle your child or your children, and you're on the verge of just letting that relationship go. You're done. You're checked out. Nothing you've tried has worked. Here's my prayer for you, that you would search the heart of God as well. Because it may just be that God would reveal some ways in which you might be able to pour into that relationship that would breathe life into brokenness. And maybe there's a child, a student here today. Maybe there's a young person. And maybe you are that person that's in that severed, broken, dysfunctional relationship with a parent. And maybe if you're living at home, you just can't wait for the day when graduation comes and you can get out of that environment. I'm asking for you today to do something courageous and search the heart of God as well. Because it just might be that God is ready and waiting to reveal some things in you and to you so that you can begin to respond differently to your parents, so that you can live out Ephesians 6, where you begin to honor them. Today, whatever your situation is, here's my prayer. Don't give up before God has a chance to work. Don't throw in the towel before God has a chance to do what he does best, which is bring life from death and to bring healing from brokenness. We're going to sing this song today. And I think it'd be great if a husband would just take his wife by the hand and pray. Maybe even in your seat, maybe even down front. Or maybe it'd be great for a family even to come and pray. If you feel the need to come as we sing this song, we want to give you a chance to do that. Would you stand with me right now?
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solidchurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solidchurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.